Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4. We'll look at the first seven verses today. And as you turn there, think of these questions. How much of your life is spent judging other people? Add to that the amount of time that you spend judging yourself. Is it worth it? What are the effects of your thoughts? Do they bring you peace? Do they bring you joy? Do they result in you being a better person? I'm going to argue that they do not. It may be nice in the moment to think of yourself as better than somebody else. Nobody wants to be last. But with that nice feeling comes fears and doubts and the ongoing pressure to remain better. And if you're not able to actually be better, at least keep up the appearance of being better. And how difficult is it to remain humble when you're making judgments? Humility is the true fountain of peace and joy. You may think that in some sense, judging others and wanting to be better than someone else will actually make you a better person, but I'm not even sure on that account. I actually think it's the person who has forgotten himself and is truly thinking of others that is able to be the true servant, to focus on doing rather than judging. Now, before I go any further, I have to make a very important clarification, as was asked of me in the Sunday school class today. When I talk about judging in this sense, I'm talking about sizing up, quote unquote, sizing up of another person such that you make the final determination of their person and character. I'm not talking about the evaluation of a certain action being right or wrong. Now, sometimes they can slip from one to the other. But the Bible always, everywhere, encourages us to evaluate our actions and even our motives according to the standard of God's word. We looked at in the confession in the order of worship today of what is repentance. You can't even repent if you don't make an evaluation of an action as being wrong. Right? We all know we need to repent on a regular basis. So the evaluation of a certain action or a certain motive of your own that is right or wrong, that is everywhere done in Scripture, and we need to make those judgments. And I would just stress at the beginning here, don't let the world deceive you into thinking that to call sin, sin is sinful. But this is different than the judging that Paul is dealing with here in Corinthians. It is making that final discernment, that final decision as to their person and character. I hope by the end of this message you'll agree with me that this is something that God does not want us to do. But I'll also tell you that even if you do agree with me, that this is something that we should not do, you will struggle your entire life with it. And if you're ever struggling to figure out, Lord, what can I repent of today? This is a good place to go. It's so easy to slip into that action was wrong into therefore I'm better than. Or you can go the other way. Wow, what that person did was right, therefore I'm worse. You can go either way with it. And to be honest, and this is how tricky this can sometimes be, Paul uses this language. He actually says, I'm the worst of sinners. Doesn't sound like a comparison, Paul. Or in another place, he says, I worked harder than any of the other apostles. That's a comparison. So I just want to be honest here at the beginning that this is a hard road to walk down. And I wonder if it's even possible to eliminate all comparisons and judgments from our thinking. But I hope at least that this message will give you a pause and help you to see the pitfalls of what you're doing and help you maybe think of judgment with a little more humility than what comes natural to us. So let's look at the text. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7. This is how one should regard us. And just to show you how difficult this is, I mean, you could make a case that regard there is judge. This is how you should judge us. This is how you should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. Before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. That none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, bigger context, Paul is in the middle of an extended argument trying to get factions out of the church. That's the issue. Some portions of the church lauded Paul, other portions lauded Apollos, some lauded Peter. They lauded different sections and they were dividing the church over those differences. That's the issue. So much so that the loyalty that the entire church should have to Christ was missed. Like that was the missing, what was missed out on. But look down in verse 6 for a moment. Paul says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. And I think in this verse and also in verse 7, we see Paul doing something. He's basically saying, look, the problem is your factions over who's leader, but the principles that I'm using to overcome that problem actually will apply to you in every problem. Every time that you're trying to judge someone else, every time that you're puffing yourself up, the principles that I'm going to tell you here today will apply to you. And that's what I think he's doing. So most of this message will move away from leaders. I'll talk a little bit about that. But more so on how we judge one another. Okay? But I just want you to know that's in the context of this issue of how we judge leaders. Paul begins in verse 1, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, this is a summary verse. This is kind of his summary of what he's already said in the previous chapter. But it's worth a few words of its own. He uses a word for servant called huperetes. It means under rower. It's like what was used of a servant who was on a galley ship, like a slave, and he was rowing at the oars underneath the master who was rowing. But that's not all the places that it was used. It was used of anyone who was an assistant to somebody else in their work. That's what he's doing. So he says, "I am an under rower of Jesus Christ," or any leader is just an under rower of Christ. And his point is that Christ is the master. And as I think we spoke of some last week, the pastor serves the church, but he is not the servant of the church. He serves the church, but he's not the servant of the church. He is the servant of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what matters is not the opinions of the people that he's serving, but the opinion of his master. That's what matters. And I think this generally applies not just to pastors as having Christ as master, but the reality is every Christian has Christ as master. So over in Romans 14, flip over there just for a moment. Paul's dealing with a completely different issue. He's talking about issues of where, like, one person thinks that it's wrong to eat food offered to idols. The other person says it's right to do that. And they're debating and they're fighting with one another. And they're lifting one another up or putting another person down because of these issues. But listen to the way that Paul speaks in that passage. Romans 14, 1 through 4. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." And then look in verse 4. "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands and falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand." So the same principle Paul's telling them, look, I'm just under my master Jesus Christ as a apostle, can be said of every Christian. You have one master, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you stand and fall based upon his judgment of you. Okay? Now, Paul goes on and he also says that he is a steward of the mysteries of God. Again, a steward is often a slave, but they were given much authority and they were given responsibility and they were judged by how they handled the responsibilities that they have been given. Okay, again, Jesus is the master. We are the stewards. I might be a steward of the mysteries of God, but you as a Christian, you are a steward of the grace that God has given to you. And you must live your life in obedience and submission to him. Okay, so what is it that your master is looking for from you? That's the question, and that's right down in verse 2. "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." Another word for trustworthy, faithful. Faithful. What is faithfulness? It is dependability, reliability, loyalty. That is what Christ is looking for. You see, he gives to each one of us duties, responsibilities, and he evaluates us according to our faithfulness to the tasks that he's given to us. He has not given me the same duties and responsibilities as anyone else here in this church. We all have this kind of blend, do we not? I have duties as a pastor that you may not have, but you have duties as a church member. You have duties related to your calling in the world. You have duties to your families, to your church. And God is interested that we be faithful in our duties, not that we be awesome. You see the difference there? Your master wants you to be faithful with the task that he's given you. He's not going, wow, you are so awesome. That's not the way he evaluates his children. The judgment of Jesus Christ of every one of his children is coming. And this should cause a little bit of fear in our hearts, but ultimately, it is a good thing. Understanding the reality of a final evaluation, a final exam, so to speak, in which Jesus Christ will evaluate. Now, I get that he's evaluating every aspect of your life, your sinfulness and all that kind of stuff, but also that he is evaluating every good work that you ever do. He will judge everyone in its motives, in your actions. That day is coming for each of us. Now, one of the freeing things about that statement is that it frees you from the bondage of any human judgment against you. Did you hear that? It frees you from the bondage of any human judgment against you. You see, Paul had been judged by the Corinthians. Some looked at him in his ministry and said, awesome. Some said, not so awesome. Which is it? You know, some had found his ministry lacking. Others found it great. In Paul's estimations, these opinions only mattered in small ways. It doesn't say that they don't matter at all, but they're relatively small. Look at verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. You see what he's doing? He's putting a comparison. He says, I'm being judged by Jesus, my master. Your judgment is really not the issue. But I'm telling you that if you take away the judgment of Jesus and all you have are the judgments of other men, you will overvalue them. And it is a bondage. Neither as a pastor, nor as a parent, nor as a church member, should you be driven by the opinions of others. And I'm telling you, it is hard to overcome the craving to be approved and affirmed by others. Only as you fix your gaze upon the approval of the Lord Jesus will you begin to break that bondage. So it's a healthy question. Am I being driven by the opinions of others? Do I ultimately make my choices based upon what other people will think of them? Now, I'm not saying that there's not some level of that. I mean, obviously, if a Christian, we don't want our parents to think bad of us. I mean, that's not a bad thing. But put it in its proper perspective. Sometimes I make decisions, I don't want to disapprove somebody, I don't even know I'm doing it. I'm a people pleaser by nature. My wife will often ask me, why are you doing this? I'm like, well, only because I want to serve the Lord. You know. You will never have peace as long as you are bound by the opinions of others. Do you know why? Because the opinions of others are fickle. Or, let's say this, you know your own heart better than anyone else does, and so when they give you praise, the doubts start going up. Well, if they knew that, if they knew this, they wouldn't say that. There's no peace in that. No joy. You understand that the opinions of others are rarely spot on. How much better to seek the opinion and the approval of the one whose opinion is always spot on. When we get to the judgment day and Jesus says, oh, here's well done. You're not going to say, oh, but if you only knew. He's going to be like, I do know. Paul takes it a step further. He is so consumed with the judgment of his master that he says, even my own judgment of myself is not good. Now, a lot of us are driven by our own opinions of ourselves. Now, surely Paul evaluates his actions on a regular basis. Surely he is judging himself. He is thinking about things. But he says, on an ultimate level, I don't pass the final assessment of who I am. I don't give myself enough power to have that. It belongs to Jesus, my master. You know, there are days when you feel particularly good about yourself when maybe you shouldn't. And there are days when you feel terrible about yourself when maybe you should feel better. Isn't it nice to know that your opinion of yourself is not ultimately what matters, but his opinion? I believe this is where modern psychology, pop psychology, has erred. It has made the assessment of self-esteem everything. How you feel about yourself is everything. No, it's not. Now, I get it. It is something. You don't want to always go around feeling wrongly terrible about yourself. But it's small in comparison to the judgment of Christ. Let me tell you just one embarrassing moment about my past. This goes way back to when I was in high school. There's like one game that I have playing basketball that was actually videoed, and they did an interview of me after the game. And leading up to that game, we as a team and me as an individual believed that our opponent was arrogant. Okay? We had reasons for that. I won't go into all the details. But we thought they were arrogant, and we were going to take down. We were David taking down Goliath. And we beat him in triple overtime. Okay, so they're interviewing me after the game. And of course, in my mind, in my opinion of myself, I am the humble one and they are the arrogant ones. And of course, God has enabled the humble to defeat the proud. But every time I watch that interview, I am ashamed. Because what is coming out in that interview is a youthful arrogance. Now, other people look at it and they say, oh, you're just being a kid. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you were just as bad as they were. But I didn't know it at the time. It's not your opinion of yourself. It's God's opinion that matters. Sometimes we have too low of opinion of ourselves. I think that sometimes comes from us always judging one or another. So we feel terrible about ourselves because we're proud and we want to be better than we are. Oh, all of this is just it's a trap. And I think so many people in our world today are full of anxiety and depression because they've forgotten that there is a good and perfect judge who will evaluate everything. Leave it to him. Focus on repentance and focus on loving him and trying to be faithful in his presence. Verse 5, he says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time comes, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the part where I'm going to try to bring the gospel into this situation. If you look at verse 4, he says, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Your ESV translation is trying not to confuse you too much, but the King James Version, I think, has it correct. I am not thereby justified. They use the word justified. And what Paul is saying is that there's a judgment to come. And all of my actions as a Christian are going to be judged at that time. It's going to be evaluated. Okay? That judgment is coming. And he says there's going to be a justification that occurs at that time. Only problem is we never use justification as Christians out there, do we? We always use it as something that's already occurred in the past. I am already justified in Christ. Okay? And so you're like, well, which is it? Am I going to get justified out there or am I justified here, right? So, and I don't want to get you too confused in this, but just think about this. Every action that you have ever done and every motivation must be evaluated or you will never know what Jesus has forgiven. Did you think about that? Like, if I don't know my sin, I can just generally say, oh, Jesus died for my sin. And I think that's what a lot of us do. We tend to think, generally, yeah, Jesus died for our sin, and we go on living our lives. If you start evaluating your sins on a regular basis and seeing those weighed before you, then in your brokenness, you think of the blood of Christ as being more precious because you know that it's paying for all those sins. Well, on the day of judgment, every one of your sins and your good things will be completely evaluated. And those things that have fallen short of the glory of God will only be washed in his blood. That's the only way that you'll ever be free. But those things that have been good, you will recognize, well, first off, they will be rewarded. Your master will say, well done to you. And you'll say, well, wait a minute, they weren't perfect. They were mixed with my sin and da-da-da-da. He says, I know all that. But in some sense, the Spirit of God working through the new heart has produced in you some aspect of faithfulness so that you have been able to walk in the obedience that he wants you to do, and he will say, well done. And you'll say, but it's by your grace. And you'll say, yeah, it is. But how important is that judgment day so that we will get all things right? We will know each other for who we are. There'll be no deception. The hidden things will be made known. It's going to be a freeing day. Each one will receive his commendation from God. One of the hymn that we sang, Not What My Hands Have Done, this is how I go about this in my own life. I do stand before God. I do think about my acts. I do think, Lord, I want to be, you know, sincere and faithful. And I think about those things. But when the doubts and the fears, and I think I'm going to be condemned by those because I see the shortcomings, I always finish with Christ. I always go back to the cross and say, it's not my perfection. None of my works are perfect. I can't get to glory based on this. I'm always resting in Christ. And this is what is so beautiful in the gospel is that Jesus takes that final judgment. He knew every sin from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, he looked at them as a whole, and he says, oh, now I'm going to go to the cross and pay for all of them. But he's the only one that knows them. We'll know them on the judgment day in their completion. That might all be still confusing to you. It is hard to work all that out. I get that. But just understand that the doctrine of justification, where God declares you righteous before the test is over, doesn't mean that there's not going to be the final evaluation. It's going to be there. You are just now in Christ. And I think as Christians, we're afraid of that because it feels too heavy for us. But just remember that you have a good master. The person who's judging you is the one who shed his blood for you. And that's a wonderful thing. And it frees us from the addiction of the approval of men, which is truly a trap. Verse 7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I think Paul is saying there at the end, if there is a place in my life where God says, well done, good and faithful servant, I'm not going to stand back and say, well, yep. I'm going to say, thank you. Your grace has done it. I have received it. It's like, before I can do anything good, I have to receive it from the Lord and give back. And God has works for each one of us. They're not all the same. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's you. He hasn't given the same gifts to you as the person next to you. Quit judging yourself based upon them. Take the gifts that he's given to you. He gives it varied ways. Use that gifts to serve God's people. That's what life is all about. Spend less time judging others. If you get anything, just, man, this is a waste of time. Yeah, call sin, sin. But don't be in the place of making the judgment over another person or even over yourself. Submit yourself to God. Think about him more than you think about others. I mean, if you're going to etch something in your mind, etch the words of Christ himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen.